Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to another sit-down episode of the Mindframe podcast. This episode of the sit-down is for the interlude. So if you haven't listened to the interlude, which is nestled between chapters 5 and chapter 6, you probably want to go back and listen to it because we'll have some spoilers and discussion as we always do. With me today is Zach Smith, who will be asking the questions.
Hello.
And Brent Van Tassel.
Yo.
Who will be also asking questions, answering questions, and pushing lots of fancy clickety buttons. As always, we thank you for listening. If you're listening, it means you're a patron, and we appreciate it. It's what helps the trains get to the station on time. And we appreciate all that you do for us, and we appreciate that you're listening. But also, we are a Podbelly original, so be sure you check out podbelly.com so you can find how to podcast, all the interesting podcasts that they have there as well, and you'll be able to take a leap into more podcasts from there. So as usual, with the sit-downs, we sort of dance the delicate dance of talking about what's in the chapter without me spoiling things, and this one might be especially tricky because the nature of the interlude is a little bit... takes kind of a turn on people. So some of the questions might just be Zach and Brent talking, but I'll do my best to add whatever I can. So without further ado, let us get into talking about the interlude.
So when David asked for the updated questions, I sent him a message that basically said, okay, I just sent an email, and basically most of the questions for the interlude in Chapter 6 are probably addressed towards Brent because so much here... like feels like we learned a lot and then that was upended and we don't know anything still. So
yeah, I think this is my favorite episode so far. It's like super short, but I actually listened to this episode like 3 times in the process. We had some like downtime where I thought we were going to record, we didn't, and I was like, I am the kind, I have to cram for an exam, yeah, kind of thing. So I've listened to it a couple times, but I think it reminded me of like when you watch Game of Thrones or something. And it was like, oh, it's castles, and it's this and that, and it's just set back in the day. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, there's magic? Like, that's what I thought. Like, oh, wait.
Oh, wait, there's really a dragon?
Yeah. Wait, is there a dragon? Did the, like, blue stuff just come out of that guy's fucking sword? Like, all of a sudden, you realize, like, oh, okay, like, you had suspicion that something's going on, and this really, like, is kind of concrete to be like, okay, yeah, something's going on. Things got very Matrix.
It did, and that's actually one of the questions I have built in for later. It just kind of threw me, so I'm just going to kind of go and write in it, you know, with some of these questions. One, I like to just point out this is some good parallelism between the very first chapter with the prelude. It's almost word for word.
Yeah, I open with the same exact phrase.
Yeah. And
so, I had a totally different phrase, and I was like, no, but I was trying to kind of capture same thing, and I was like, no, I think it just needs to be the same exact, because it is the, I mean, it's the same exact thing, so why not borrow the phrase?
So we get, assumably everybody here, if you're listening, you've listened to the interlude, so we have Josephine, or a Josephine, and she's dreaming, and she, for the first place she sees is a Roman... time frame area. Would it be possible to get a more accurate time frame for that Roman spot that we see, or is it?
I wouldn't know the actual year offhand, but I would. It's a vision of like a Roman legion in England.
England. That's what I thought. Like maybe Josephine is a Pictish. Looking at a group of Roman and Roman legion as they're coming forward or trying to figure out how they're going to fight the Pictish, the people that were in Scotland when the Romans arrived.
And for me, like, I don't know, that might already be answering a question. Like, is she dreaming? Like you said, she's
dreaming. Very true. You're right.
It seemed more like, is she like astral projecting?
Or experiencing a past life.
Generating a reality, or is she visiting, like, I pictured, and I know you probably can't, I'm going to rant, but, like, I started to try to think about the title, Mind Frame, and Framer, and surfing frames, and all these things, and I'm like, especially the way that she shifts to a new place or goes somewhere else, and she came from where she's at to where she goes or when she is, I feel like my theory is that she's that framers are possibly like projecting their own reality or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that like maybe she really is there because when she's visiting or dreaming or whatever she's doing, she says she wonders who the framer is here.
Yeah, she does.
She'll never know
frame,
because she
yeah.
can already tell that she's starting to shift mm-hmm. to somewhere else. And then I don't want to get too far because I don't know what all you got with questions, but I feel
going.
Like to me, like she was really there. I don't mm-hmm. know that she was dreaming or not. And I don't know what you can tell us about that, but I feel like she is somewhere and that she's, or in a, if there's a such thing as there, a very, if this is what you taste, what you touch, what you smell, if this is real matrix sort of way, it felt to me like she was almost like a holodeck or something weird like that. Like she was there and someone creates that reality. She was visiting their reality.
Not sure how much I can say on that particular.
And remember to the audience, we don't know.
We don't know.
Zach
at
and I
all.
Don't know. No, we're only on this episode. We're one episode
yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Dave sent both of us like a larger thing of the text, but I've refused to read ahead. I just want to see.
I know that it would mess this yeah. up.
It would
so.
Definitely mess this up.
More than anything, I sent them to you because I'm always paranoid, and it's like I always
we're
send
a backup.
My,
yeah.
Every time I edit stuff, I send my stuff to three different email addresses
yep.
with different .com addresses yeah. So that even if Yahoo got taken out, I still have it on two other mm-hmm. servers, you know. But I was like, I'll send it to them as well, and that way there's another one, you know.
Well, I want to kind of jump back to what you said about, you know, the fact of the title, like mind frame, right? And then we have the phrase framer coming back like over and over again. And she's looking at somebody that she refers to as Alpha, and this person, whomever they are, appears to Josephine in the different time eras she travels through in this whatever it is, right? Hologram, dreamscape, past
time
life,
frame. That's
time
the other
frame.
Thing it brought to me is like time yeah. frame. She's like in Rome, and then she's in 2011, yeah. then she's in 1992.
Yeah. And we already know time is slippery in this right. this whole world. We
and
know.
That's why I'm trying to put the two things together of like time frame, mind frame
yeah.
is
yeah.
mind like creating these time frames. Like
yeah.
are these little compartmentalized virtual reality type things or something?
Well, so initially when I heard the word framer, when I read that chapter, whenever the first time a framer is used, I think it's in the prologue with Captain Bill Campana.
Yeah.
In my head, what a framer was somebody that had to be like in like a monk like state to guide the ship when it's moving so quickly. So nothing was hit. So like a minor speck of dust or a tiny rock doesn't just like plow through the ship, because if you're moving at that speed, the tiniest of thing will screw you.
I mean, in the future setting, that makes a ton of sense
yeah.
to me. I would agree with it.
Yeah.
But when it's in Josephine's thing, it's like,
but
man, it's a different context.
It's a different context. It's a different feeling. So now what I'm thinking is maybe it is a little bit of what I originally thought, where the framers may be helping them guide through space, but maybe at the same time they're experiencing these different times, these different lives, these different versions of themselves as they're doing the framing. So I don't know.
I feel like the Alpha is some supreme, like he's Neo.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
or yeah,
or Morpheus, or you know, something. Maybe more Neo though. He's walking on water and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Morpheus is kind of number two. He's a badass, but he wasn't Neo.
Moses, not Jesus.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And he met her there. It's like they had an appointment, because
yeah.
it does say during their meetings at night, which it seems like she meets in that space between dreams,
mm-hmm.
And she meets the Alpha, but. They have these reoccurring meetings. I feel like more he was surfing frames, and he was like, I'll meet you at Dagny's.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to meet you in
He's
Rome.
Able to just go
I'm
going to
meet you in Rome. That's where you met. And he sort of brought her there and projected her there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a point where they go to a cruise ship, and I feel like she just took the reins,
mm-hmm.
and now she projected some type of frame, and they're on a cruise ship.
Yeah. So before we move to New York, I just wanted to ask, is there significance for the Roman time frame? Is this something we should keep in mind?
I think the questions she has about the framer are significant.
Okay.
Like the types of questions she's thinking, like what exactly is this framer doing? I think those are important questions to kind of keep in mind.
Okay. So then as Brent brought up, she moves and they start to travel and move now through whatever this frame or this time or this liminal space, as Dave says. Now we're in New York, mm-hmm. right? That was the next
right.
one. Yeah. And
on the waterfront.
On the waterfront.
They're probably in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. I would guess. Because you can see it from across the river. You're right. Yeah.
And you mentioned what used to be the United States too.
Right. Yes. And so we know it's also pre-9/11 because the towers are still there. And they make mention of that.
I think you even say 92 or something. You say
you say
the year.
I think you do.
Yeah. I think the Alpha says he thinks it's 92.
Yeah. I guess I just had a question. The Josephine that we meet in chapter 2 and then that we see again in chapter 1 and chapter 6 would be old enough that maybe in 1992 she could have been on a cruise ship seeing, you know, New York and New Jersey. Would that, I guess, been possibly one of her memories that she's revisiting, or is it something? Or I guess maybe Dave can't say. What do you think, Brent? Like, is it her just revisiting a memory she had?
I don't get that. No, I think like it's something else. I don't think that's her memory, because I'm still debating like where is her home base?
Right, right.
Like, what is her time and place? Right. I don't even know. You know what I mean? She's at the Dame, and then
around 2012.
Some of the references come later, like that she's no longer there, but it's in good hands already since you've been here. Like, what's happening with that?
Yeah.
But to point out one factor in New York is she is also wondering where the framer is in New York.
And that's all my questions. Like, so he stops her right away and says, before you ask, because she wondered in Rome and wherever they were with the Roman soldiers, who's the framer? And in New York, he offers it up right away and says, and if you're wondering, he's in the Brown Building over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he thinks he's in charge of the docks. Like, so he's under some illusion that he's in charge of stuff and going about his daily business, but somehow he is the framer, I think, is what's inferred.
Mm-hmm.
So that the framer is in some little brown building and he thinks he's in charge of the docks and he works here and it's very convenient. I was like, well, what's going on here? This guy's just like passively, they're using his brain to like host the reality.
They could be. Yeah.
And he's a framer, but they put him in place in the reality and he's actually what's hosting the game. It'd be like if you're playing Minecraft,
right?
My son's computer tower is hosting it and all the friends have visited and my son is in the game. He's playing, but he happens to be hosting the game. I mean, I have a tech spin on this where I keep thinking simulation, virtual reality. Type
stuff. And that's partly what I'm thinking too.
I'm not even looking at Dave's face. Yeah, I don't even want I'm just looking straight at you for the record. If you're listening, you can't see. I don't want to see Dave's like subtle eyebrow lift or anything. Like he can answer questions and make comments based on our stuff, but I don't want
to
know.
And feel free to interject. Like, we're not trying to cut you out, but it feels he's right. Like, any little thing right now could give it away and we don't want to know. We want to be surprised like the rest of you guys are.
Right. Right.
So we're just sitting back and you pointed out something that I didn't catch about the framer being in a different building in there. So, and I think maybe like,
but being like, unaware that he's, the
but
framer,
yeah, but
I think.
He's, yeah. Like, it's like you've wandered somehow onto somebody's Animal Crossing island and you know, they just don't know that you're there or something. And you're like, and they're like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
I don't get
here?
The reference. You guys are nerds. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll have to put Tom Nook in the book.
So like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like with this one, as the conversation starts to go, a couple things struck out to me. And one, you don't have to answer them at all, Dave, obviously. But I had the question of how many Josephines are there? Because they use the plural term, Josephines.
He tells her, you're my favorite Josephine.
Right.
Which and would obviously mean there's more than one
There's
Josephine.
More than one. So like, Brent, what do you think? Is this somebody that's been cloned a bajillion times? Is this somebody that can be pulled out of different...
It feels more digital and dimensional to me than it does like physical cloning. I think physical cloning would be like a waste of resources. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not efficient. It doesn't mean it makes any sense, but it feels like it wouldn't be, or it's too organic. I feel like it's more ethereal, weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some kind of interdimensional thing or a VR thing of some sort.
More abstract than just concrete physical cloning.
And the fact like the Alpha walks on water, that doesn't speak like cloning technology. That feels more like he's Neo, like he can. There is no spoon.
And the obvious like spiritual connotation.
Yeah, or that. the spiritual reverence, like the Jesus walk on water kind of thing.
So I was just trying to think like, in my head, she's. I don't want to jump to the end, so maybe I'll wait on that one. But in my head, this is a Josephine that's just, you know, mid whatever. journey, mid-dream, mid-simulation, and is being pulled out of that time frame moment.
Well, he says that that's the end of the debriefing.
But of her tenure as Josephine. But the Josephine will still exist, right? Because there's still somebody that's taking care of the old Dane.
In good hands. Is that the Josephine that's sitting there looking in the mirror and all that stuff?
And that's what I thought in my head.
We don't know that yet, actually. It's not a big deal. Well, it might be. I don't know, actually.
And then my second question in this section is, do you think Alpha is somebody that we've met? In my head, it's the person that was talking in the prelude, in the very first thing. Yeah. Maybe. But I don't know.
He has a very old man kung fu vibe about him.
And it sounds like he's
and he
capable.
Has the insignia on his sleeve mm-hmm. was mentioned, which I'm assuming is that Q. Is it the Q with the pyramid on his sleeve?
Or
is
I can confirm that it is the same person from the.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. And I think you dropped enough clues playing fair with the reader to that does kind of come across because I'll hold off because that's something that's mentioned in the next chapter, but he talked about journeying through these dreams to meet people and send out things, and so this was like okay, maybe this is his interaction with Josephine in this place, wherever this place might be, and we're just, kind of left to guess what their relationship is. As of right now, I think in the next chapter, we get a better idea of how they might know each other. But as of right now, it still seems kind of a little obtuse.
Seems mentor-like.
Yeah,
like
for
she's
sure.
being groomed or trained.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she is because she's about to be a messenger of some sort.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I had for this section was he mentions dolphins, and I wanted to ask Dave, was there any Star Trek IV influence here with when they travel back to the past and they talk to the whales?
Or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
No, actually more of I think the idea just came from the fact that I'm thinking of if you were doing a catalog of species on a planet trying to determine, who was
intelligent,
self-aware, sentient, et cetera. I mean, there's a very short list.
It's octopus, dolphin, chimps.
Elephants, maybe.
Oh, elephants are pretty.
I mean, there's a couple that would be on the list. And I was like, so if I wanted to say one was, definitively, one that gets a say in world vote and it becomes a citizen, I was debating between them, and I think maybe my bet was hedged a little bit by some William Gibson and some Johnny Mnemonic.
Okay.
I think that might have been the thing that pushed me into the dolphin camp. But it wasn't Star Trek.
Okay.
With the whales.
For some reason, that's the thing I always like first think of when they say that like dolphins and the mammals are intelligent creatures. I just always think back to Star Trek.
Right.
Because kind of as you said before, some things were answered, but way more questions that now need answering. So as it was hard for me to develop questions that I didn't feel like would pressure you to kind of divulge stuff. So. Like I said, most of the stuff has been directed towards Brent, and I'm kind of reaching the end of what I had written down, so I'm kind of curious to see what you have written on your paper.
I was curious about, he said that she is too of this Earth, or Alpha said she was too of this Earth, and she goes into, a meditative state, mm-hmm. that Summer Lily Pad, Summer Lily Pad Meditation C127. I was like, okay, she received some type of formal training, mm-hmm. Maybe if that is that framer training, I would assume so. And that she's able to go into some zen-like state, and then they end up on a cruise ship to the Alpha surprise. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, a cruise ship. So clearly she did some kind of meditative thing and either transported them, or it sounds more like not transport. It sounds more to me that she generated that version of reality for whatever being, because they go over and order coffee. And she's surprised by it, though. I almost feel like it's like the Inception where the girl builds the reality or whatever, mm-hmm. like in her mind. I think it's something sort of like that. they order the coffee, and then
and the words don't make exact sense to her, which is something
well, it's because there's a standard language, which we talked about a little bit. They don't actually speak English, but he orders in English and says like quad shot, mocha, something.
But if this is a Josephine that also exists within the Dame, we assumably this is a Josephine or maybe that they might
share,
also speak
English. Maybe they share that consciousness across whatever Josephines too.
Yeah.
Like maybe they have those resources available. But then he says something about there was the logo, like the Q logo was on something. And she says, was that you? And he said, no, this one was all you. It's 100% you. It had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, like let's see what little Squirt does flying solo. Like, I feel like this was like, go ahead. She did her little Zen state and he went with her this time and met her where she wanted to be.
Maybe testing to see what she's capable of.
And he says, like, he was like, wow, that was fast. Your mind is so powerful. Like she's almost like some type of prodigy for whatever they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And she even mentioned when she mentions that specific meditation, she says that it's a meditation that's too difficult for most people to even engage in.
Right.
So, I mean that, she's definitely
like a kung fu master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a mention that, correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the messengers does that get brought up in this
I know that chapter? they're talking and he says that she's gonna have a conversation with someone with some type of being, like I don't know if it's the Kel or not, but a being that's a non-gender that somehow identifies as female to Alpha when Alpha talks to
her
because he identified it that way, and he starts to have a conversation what seems to be like prep before she moves on to the next stage to talk to this entity, and asks what's good about WorldGov. Tell me what's good about WorldGov. And she goes through all the normal stuff, like, oh, there's equality and there's health and everybody has this and this is what people say, and gives all these justifications for why it's good. And then she the Alpha says, what, tell me what's bad about WorldGov. And she says, she thinks about it and says that what people say is like, what is the intent of the Kel? Am I saying right?
The Kel.
Mm-hmm. Of the Kel. We don't know what their intent is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they good? Are they going to come? We don't know what their intent is to do. And then he goes on to kind of describe this being, which I'm assuming whoever that she's going to talk to is one of them. That their species is...
Yeah, that's what I assume too.
Yeah, that it's like not like violent and malicious, but that she's going to have to let it into her mind and it's going to like know everything, like you have no secrets. It's going to wiggle through your mind and you know your deepest, darkest secrets.
Right.
And are you prepared for that? And she answers like immediately, yes. And he said, oh, before I skip ahead, let's see who died. Yeah, we don't know the intent of the Kel. And are you prepared to have that message? And or he says, that's what it is, that she's going to, that they're done with the debriefing and that I have to prepare you to be a messenger or something, or you need to be prepared to receive
and
messages.
And then she asks, like, oh, did one of the messengers...
Because there's only five. So the only way you
die
can, you
and
can
he's
be
like,
a messenger
no.
Yeah, is if one dies or you get upvoted.
And she's like, and he's like, no,
and he,
one
and
of
he
them
says,
die.
Yeah, one of my first, my new favorite quotes is, this is not that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yes, you're going to get messages like the messengers, but no one said we were going to make you a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes on to talk about that. What else is there? The species. And then finally he says, are you sure you, Josephine Wu, are you sure like to dream this alien's dreams?
And
to never be the same.
Back. Yeah.
And you'll never be the same. And you'll be one of the most dangerous people that has ever lived or something like that. So I was like, what in the actual fuck is happening? Like it's going to make her the most dangerous person that's ever lived because like, she's already super powerful and she's like creating her own universe.
Right. So there's potential there
it's
already.
It's like Dr. Manhattan. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. She's going to make a new planet and species and world and universe. It seems that way, but it seems very, very zen-like.
But she has to meet the alien to do it. And so whatever the alien's going to relay.
Or entity, whatever
the entity,
is.
Yeah. Like, I kind of pictured in my head, I guess, like something like at the end of, what was the Jodie Foster one? Contact?
Contact.
Uh-huh. Where it's her dad.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert for a 20-year-old film. but like...
I love that movie.
30-year-old book.
But like...
Fucking great book. Great book, great film.
It comes to her as her father because it's something that he'll recognize. And I wonder if the Alpha, when it came to him, it was a woman from his past that he recognized. It just, you know, as a way to...
Just
not
be more identifiable.
More identifiable, but also to make you feel more secure. And I don't mean this in like a bad way, not like a false sense of security, but like, hey, I want to appear this way so that you feel okay talking to me and we can interact.
He even says to the point that the entity is funny.
Yeah.
To him. Yeah. So Probably.
Yeah, you said something earlier that you didn't think they were malicious, and I don't think so either, which is kind of like then...
Did you watch Arrival yet?
Yes, actually, that night. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, and it might be something like that. Like, maybe that's the only way they can communicate, because we just can't conceptualize their form of communication.
You know, and it's funny that you say that, because like it kind of brings in some of the stuff that Arrival is talking about, in the sense of like how we perceive time in addition to how we perceive language. And it could be the Kel are perceiving time differently than we do. And it would sort of make sense then that's why we're able to kind of skip through all these different times and
yeah, the Arrival broke my brain thinking about like, oh, that's so crazy. Yeah. I even thought about like the simplicity of like Spanish versus English and how that would change the way your thought process works. Just about like descriptive terms being before the word or after the word, like pants, pants blue or blue pants, like things like that.
The thing I loved about that movie, and I can't say too much about it because I do not want to spoil the end of that movie because it's too great.
That is a great movie.
But the opening of the movie, when I was watching it, I was disappointed because I was like, oh, this old thing. Like it opened and it was like, yawn, like just
well, seen this
what
before.
She's going through is like, oh, and that, you know, like, oh, that all this happened and that's why you're like this and blah, blah, blah. And then when like the reveal happens at the end, I was like, I take it all back. That was fucking brilliant.
It was great buildup. Like,
I just remembered so much about that movie that I've forgotten. I won't say anything.
So good.
So on a lighter note, speaking of language real quick, I showed Faith Mars Attacks. Like the next week, and all their speech is just ack, 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 obviously translating all this shit to the aliens. What? How are they doing that? I was like, I don't know. But my favorite part, though, is when the aliens are running after the humans with the translation box. They're like, don't run. We're your friends.
Yeah.
Just like, I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
My only disappointment with Mars Attacks was that Tim Burton originally wanted all of it to be claymation stop animation.
That would have been fun,
and the movie studio talked him out of it because it was going to be too expensive and too time consuming, and they went to CGI. If that movie was done with stop motion, it would be eternal. Mm-hmm. It would be a classic to this day.
It's
but right now it's like the CGI is already outdated.
It's still fun,
yeah. But I mean, if that was like straight up, like, you know, fucking Sinbad on the mm-hmm. high seas, like stop motion claymation, like that would just be
old
epic.
Clash of the Titans.
Old 50s, like, you know, it's mocking 50s sci-fi, yeah. But do it with 50s sci-fi special effects, that would have been epic. But
Clash of the Titans, I forgot about that. Medusa, yeah. And the Kraken, yeah. And all, yeah. That stuff, yeah. Yeah.
So, I was shocked that she took the invitation right away. And not shocked at the same time. Like, if you're offered this once in a lifetime sort of thing to go meet this, you know.
And it's apparently not in the other thing to point out, I think, is like he said, are you ready? And she said, yes. And then he said, she said, if the Alpha says it will be so, then it will be so. Something to that effect. And he once again reiterates that this is not that. Like, I'm not making this decision, I think. It sounds like he's just a cog in the machine as well.
Right.
Even though his name is the Alpha and it seems he can walk on water. That there's something above him, that whatever that entity is making this decision too, and that maybe she's almost chosen,
right.
Because she is this weird prodigy where she's able to do these things that are advanced. So that's, I got like that the Alpha is not necessarily the Alpha.
Yeah, and I think too, like him. If these things are powerful enough to just appear to you as however you see them, I think speaks volumes of their power. I guess because for my frame of reference for this is also the Sandman. So, like, when, like, you read The Sandman and those characters, death, dream, destiny, are seen by other characters, like, when they're seen by the Martian Manhunter, he looks like he's a Martian. Because that's how they appear
to him. I don't think the Alpha is, like, a projection of the Kel.
I don't know, not the Alpha. Yeah. But I think the Kel, okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, the Kel are so, it seems like they are the ultimate power from what we've seen,
right.
In this book, like the highest order, but I could be wrong too. But yeah, like as you said, the Alpha, though that's his name, there should,
I think he's just a higher form of it. He's a black belt and Josephine's a blue belt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's that kind of status.
Yeah.
Dave laughed at it. He shook. I saw it. I saw it happen. Yeah. That can be confirmed apparently.
And it sounds like he's trying to get her to like red belt status, you know, like the best of the best for like that, whatever it is that they're trying to do. I guess just kind of like wrap up my thoughts from what I had here. Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the idea of, like, he's taking her, but the dame is in good hands, is what he tells her, like, and it's always been in good hands.
It has been since you got here.
It has been since you got here, so it still sounds like there's a Josephine left there. So then I'm still just trying to wrap my head around that aspect of it and just kind of wanted to see what you thought was still going on there.
I really don't know. I mean, we've kind of taken over this show today. Like, I think, like,
I'm loving it.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder if Dave has some things to fill in the blanks that are allowed to be filled.
Or just anything we glossed over, not purposely.
Yeah, did we miss something?
Anything that we should, maybe, like, small thing we could go back and pay attention to that's not a spoiler, that's just something like...
And that's me listening to it three times.
Yeah. Right. I think I don't know. I've loved this conversation because there's so many things you guys are so right about and so many things you guys are so wrong about.
All right.
And it's amazing. Like, it's amazing to see the rabbit holes. I would make one point of clarification, which is that it's never said that the symbol on his arm is the Q symbol.
Okay, yeah, because we didn't clarify that.
That was never
it was the Alpha's insignia.
I want to say that
they mentioned on the boat,
wasn't
though,
the Q seen in this chapter?
On the boat, something to do with ordering coffee. It was on the cup holder, like the sleeve or something on the coffee, yeah?
It's still just, they talk about the fact that it's it's his symbol that's
on
his
arm. Didn't say it was the Q.
No.
His symbol was on the coffee.
Yes.
And I immediately assume it's the pyramid with the Q. Okay.
Correct.
He didn't say it wasn't. He just said it was never said. Yeah.
Correct. And I think, I mean, one thing, I think the this is not that is very important, mm-hmm. actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in ways that won't make sense until probably the next interlude. This is not that is a very important.
I told Dave too before the show, before you got here, I was like, man, because I'm like, we're thinking about other things from like, oh, could this be a sticker, a t-shirt, a marketing? Yeah. Do people want to know this? Are people going to like this? Does this reoccur? And like, this is not that was like just, I love it. Like, it was like, wherever you go, there you are, kind of like clever. This is not that.
The one thing I want as a t-shirt or as a sticker or something, I want a fourth wall as a delicate thing. Like, that is my favorite fucking quote so far from the series. Like,
noted.
Because I love meta narrative stuff.
Yeah.
I had something and then I lost it. Brent, anything else? Maybe hopefully I'll think of it as your.
No, I mean, I've gone through what I had written down. Like I said, unless Dave has something. No,
I mean,
else to say.
I mean, the main things that I would say to definitely take away are that this is not that is really important. I think it's really important that which again you guys picked up on and touched on, which is the fact that she is a prodigy, like it has mm-hmm. been established that she's better than most at whatever it is that they're doing. And I think you're my favorite Josephine,
yeah.
You know, is important for a couple of reasons. I mean, it implies there's another Josephine, and it also implies she is his favorite Josephine
right.
for whatever reason. So,
okay. So the thought I had, was, it's mentioned at the beginning, since we've confirmed that this Alpha is the same person from the prelude.
Mm-hmm.
He's mentioning, you know, getting in contact with different people, trying to get revenge on WorldGov. So maybe this is part of the setup to whatever revolution, freedom fighting.
I wish my memory is better. This is going to get me because it's like so long-winded.
Yeah,
that things connect back. I have to like go re-listen to some of this.
The question, I guess, being like, what form of revenge is this going to take? How do these different players play into it? And then also he had the question to her before, you know, like, what do you think of WorldGov? And obviously, like, if he wants revenge against WorldGov, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't
I don't know. I
think
thought,
it's a good thing.
I thought maybe, I was trying to think about, like, is he trying to refine something? Like, is it used for something? Like, what's the good? Give me the good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they're doing these frame things as simulations. Like,
right.
Maybe that's why they're jumping their history.
Right.
Like, what can we fix? What doesn't need to be fixed?
Right.
Like, what's good about WorldGov? Like, is it working? What's bad about WorldGov?
You also raised a really good thing there. What if they're running simulations to see how things will work?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like they could be future simulations. Like,
that's why I mean, Dave's probably just in his head, just like, these guys are making stuff up so hard. This will be my next book. Not it, but writing it down. Yeah. Makes note. Yeah, it's my Jesus was a time traveler theory about you know, Jesus going back and get, like we go back and Moses gets the Ten Commandments because he had to set some set of morals and rules because the world was in complete shambles and chaos. So go back and instill some morality. So maybe some minor tweaks are happening. They're running through the framers are running simulations. Who knows? Maybe a framer in the future they project what would happen if they're going to navigate through space. And like, well, we hit a rock on that one. Don't do that. Well, oh, we hit a rock on that one. Don't do that.
Yeah. And also it's, we have to look at time and space in our physical universe are not separate. So like if they're able to navigate through space in this thing that you can then make the argument, they're able to navigate through time.
Right.
So, yeah. Dave, fuck you, man. Like, there's, I thought I had a handle on this book, and then
it was good already.
It's been good. This was like, yes. Even
like,
better. So.
It's almost to the point that I get like impatient because I'm like, when does the movie come out?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. I'm like, when do I get to watch this? Because I had a new appreciation for like, people were like, well, no wonder people hate the book or that they love the book and hate the movie. You know what I mean? Because it's like all these little things, and I could see where like some Hollywood thing's going to squish this into an hour and a half, and it gets lost.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of fun about the process that we're doing here and the way you guys are going to release it is it harkens back to like how novels were originally, you know, published serial form, you know, week to week, month to month in magazines and such, and people could sit around, discuss and talk about them.
And then once it's all done, there's an omnibus there where the whole book is published. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we're back to binge releases again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it was like that. It was like, oh, you got Sopranos. You got to wait. You got to wait season. Right, now it's back to like everybody puts it all out at once.
Right.
Except for someone just released something just one
Disney,
week.
Disney does once a week. They did that with Mandalorian.
HBO's still doing once a week.
I think more and more people when they have their new... I think Netflix usually drops all at once, but I think the other streaming services tend to
There's some big stink about some new show came out and they didn't do it all at once and everyone's like freaking out. Because everyone's used to right now getting like six seasons or something. Six 6 to 12 episodes right away.
Was it Raised with Wolves?
That looks freaky as shit.
Yeah. I tried to watch it. I tried to watch it because you guys brought it up, and I got about 12 minutes into it, and I was like, I'm not watching this. Well, at least not tonight. Like, I turned it off.
I was not tonight.
I stopped on the babies. Like, I got the babies, and I was like, all right.
I got a little bit past the babies, and then they said something, and I was like, I don't think I'm in the mood for that right now. I think I need a better psyche.
It was just so, like, weird emotionless that I was like, at any time, they were just going to, like, rip a baby in half or something.
Right.
Building where they were like, let me hold it. And I was like, I got a weird vibe right now. You know, I was like, where's the remote?
There's a definite buildup, and then at one point, I think even at the very beginning, they're like, oh, and that was before the dark times. And I was like, okay, that's enough. That's quite enough.
You know. So I am done with my questions. Brent, do you have anything else?
That's all I have.
Dave, all right.
I'll wrap it up. I think it was a great discussion. I can't even explain how much I enjoyed the discussion that just happened.
Well, thanks for coming on, Dave. We're glad to have you.
But as always, if you want to check out our other writings, you can find Zach's writing. If you go to the website, mindframepodcast.com, you'll find links to his books. If you go there, you'll find a link to my 181 Pine book as well. And you can also get merch. And as always, we are a Podbelly original. And if you go to podbelly.com to get some info about podcasting, you can also find other podcasts on there, such as My Age Podcast and Paranormal Punchers. Go check out the network and the directory of podcasts that you might want to check out. And as always, thank you for being a patron. We really appreciate it. And until next time, remember, the Lariat is closing.